Let's go ahead and we'll start out in a word of prayer, and we'll start with our music. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we come to you in awe. We come to you giving you all the glory, Lord, for all the work that you've done, Lord. Lord, you've provided the free gift, Lord. It is done. It is finished. And the resurrection is the first fruits of our salvation. And so, Lord, as we worship you today, as we fellowship today with one another, Lord, and get into your word, I would ask that you would prepare our hearts again to receive a wonderful blessing from you, Lord, from your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. He is risen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and worship him this morning. One.
Praise forever to the King of Kings.
All right. Did everybody get a bulletin today? If not, I think Dave can get you one. Basically, the only announcement we have is Bible study this Thursday. We're in Revelation chapter 18. We're winding down to the end, folks. It's my favorite part. My favorite chapter, Revelation, besides Revelation 4, is Revelation 19. That's when we come back. The armies of heaven come back with Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful sight. And you know what? Why we have this? Because of the resurrection, folks. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation, folks. There is no salvation. And so, again, I just want to remind everybody, Thursdays, we have Bible study, and then on the note there, on the left there, we have prayer meeting fourth Thursday. That's all I have for announcements. Not a lot going on, but we're usually pretty busy, and so sometimes it's nice to enjoy the quiet times, the restful times at church. Amen. Is there any announcement that I'm missing, though? I think we have a sign-up for the country store still in the back, so we got some spots to fill up. So our church is part of the consortium of churches that helps run the country store. It's a volunteer. We're waiting on the new building to get done. We'll need a big work crew to move all that stuff in there, so that's coming up here shortly. But if you're interested, just back there, the sign-up sheet. Also, sign-up sheet for teaching Sunday school. If you have a gifting to teach children, please sign up back there. If you have a gifting on something else, say, hey, you know, Pastor, I have a gifting for this. We're not doing this. You got to let me know, folks. I can't read your mind. I'm not that good. And so please let me know. Let's get you busy working for the Lord. Let's get you exercising your spiritual gift. We'll be talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Next week, we will start our three-chapter series on the spiritual gifts. So it's amazing, amazing stuff. Anyways, I think that's all. I could probably sit here and talk all day, but then Clint would get really annoyed because I'm taking up space. So, all right, let's go ahead and we will, I think we'll do prayer requests and praises really quick. All right, praises and prayer requests. Any praises or prayer requests anybody wanted to mention? Yes, Kim. Yes. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you for sharing that, by the way. What was her name?
Christina.
Christina, cancer free. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Kim. Other, yes. Yes. Very disturbing of what's going on this morning on the other coast. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that right now. Pray for our country. Absolutely. I would add pray for Israel and pray for the Palestinians as well. For salvation, folks. Tell you what, man, salvation in any people group transforms your heart. It would end that war right now if everybody came to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. Others, I think there's one over here. Okay. The rapture. Amen, brother. That's a praise and a prayer request. So I think Mike studied for a pretty good sermon today. So maybe after the sermon, maybe during the sermon. Yeah.
How about
yeah, yeah. Or how about right now? Yes. Missouri.
I don't live there yet.
Yeah, that's right. Watch out for those alligators on the highway. So, if you don't know what an alligator is, we do have alligators in every state in the nation. Alligators are those strips of tires that fall off, usually on the retreads, and they got all this spiky little cable threads. And if you grab them and try and move them off the highway, they will bite you. Ooh, it hurts. So I always use, I was a trooper in my previous life, and I'd have to grab those. And I learned I had a glove in my trunk just for taking alligators off the road. So anyways, yes, we'll be praying for your travels. Michelle? That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Sherry. Yeah. Okay. Pray for Pua. Pray for you too, Sherry. Amen. All right. Any other praises or prayer requests? Yes. Awesome. Awesome. The next generation. Thank you for sharing that, Christina. There's Liam. Yes, the Rouches and all of our missionaries. All right, any other prayer requests, praises? If not, we'll go ahead and go to prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise for the resurrection. We praise you for providing salvation through your death, your burial, and your resurrection, and being seen by many people afterwards, confirming that you were resurrected. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful babies being born in, from the families in our church. And Lord, we just thank you for healthy babies. We thank you for healthy mamas, Lord, and we thank you for healthy papas too. Lord, just bless those families, Lord, and grow those children up in your name and in your glory. Lord, we also we give praises for the rapture, Lord. We're looking forward to that. That's something that we don't know the time or place, which is a motivation for us to be living for you every single day, every single moment. Lord, prayer requests. I'd ask you to be with the Thompsons as they travel down to Missouri, Lord, and they look for a new place to live. Lord, I also pray that they'd get the right deal on their house here in Ronan, in Pablo, Lord, that there'd just be an amazing deal for them there. Pray for Pruitt, Lord, as you continue to heal him, Lord. Just ask you to help him not be anxious, Lord, and just to trust in you, which he always does. He's such an inspiration to me. And so, Lord, I thank you for Pruitt. I just ask you would continue to uplift him and comfort him. Lord, we pray for all the missionaries, Lord, in our church that the church supports. Lord, we pray that you would be with the Rouches specifically, Lord, and continue healing Maria. Lord, we pray for our country, Lord. We pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our elected leaders, the senators, the congressmen, and federal, state, local levels, Lord, we pray for all of them. You have appointed them in their position, Lord. Sometimes they may not even know it, and they may do other things contrary to you, Lord, but Lord, they, without them even know it, you are using them, Lord. Just we pray for this country, Lord. We pray that the, all of our leaders will become saved. They would see the Resurrection Sunday for what it is. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray for Israel and the war going over there. Lord, we pray for both parties and all the folks over there that would come to a saving relationship with you, Lord. Lord, praise this day and praise the fellowship. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Well, today is all about love. The love Jesus had for us when he died on the cross for our sins, and most importantly, when he rose. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to read a portion of Psalm 118 as we enter into our worship time. We're going to read 14 through, I believe, 24. I'll read the first verse and you guys read the second and so on. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord.
This gate of the Lord, into which the righteousness shall enter.
I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
And the whole church read verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Heavenly Father, we just so grateful to be able to come and gather together in Your name. Lord, to remember what You did for us. And it was love that You did that for us, Lord, that you took our place. You allowed Yourself to be nailed to that cross. One of the worst kinds of deaths imaginable. And You did that all for us. Lord, we just can't even imagine the love. Lord, we just praise You this morning and lift Your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
My strength, this cornerstone, this solid ground, run to the deepest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, here on that cross that Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah stood.
then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore, forever safe. We will sing Your praise, O Lord our God.
He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Have the kids come up. We'll dismiss for Sunday school. All right. Isn't it wonderful having all these church kids in church? Pete, you coming up, buddy? All right. Let's go ahead and we'll pray for the Sunday school and for the sermon today. Dear Lord, again, I love You for what You've done for us, Lord. Lord, I just praise You for all the children in our church, Lord. Lord, I'd ask You to be with the Sunday school teachers today, Dean and Carly, Lord, as they preach the Word to the children, Lord. I also pray for Brother Mike as he brings the Word for us today, Lord. I just ask that we would open our hearts, Lord, that we just throw all that trash aside that is filling our mind and all that worldly stuff that doesn't mean anything, Lord. Lord, I'd ask that You would just help us focus on You and Your Word. Lord, be with us today as we worship You. We celebrate the risen King. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. All right, guys. All right. Again, like I mentioned before, if you want to teach some Sunday school, we do have a sign up in the on the back there. Just let Miss Carly know. With that, I think I'm just going to bring Brother Mike up. He's going to bring the message for us today.
We good?
Yeah.
Good? Anyways. Let's see if I can square up here. I actually have notes. This could be dangerous. Okay, I got, 30 minutes, 35 minutes? What we got? I'll put a timer on, because if I don't, I will blow it through.
You just preach until you're done.
Okay. You heard it. Right? Anyways, this is, you know, I like that whoever, I mean, this is the day that the Lord had made. Amen. Did He not make April 14th?
Amen.
Did He not make the day He's going to come back for His church? And the Bible says we will be glad. It's not we might be glad. We will be glad. And so as prepared as much as I can for this, I would actually like to just step aside for a second and let the Lord do His work and get me out of the way. So, if it's me, I will offend you. Trust me. But if it's Him, He'll offend you and He can do whatever He wants to do. So, anyways, Lord, thank You again for this time that we can come together. And Father, I know that we get busy about life and we forget about what You've done for us. May You do a work here today, God, that would just give us our thoughts cast upon Calvary again, upon what You've done for us, what we've received in You, and what You're going to do in the future. And Father, I thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for sending a messenger to my dark place and giving me light, the glorious gospel, and I thank You for that. And Father, I pray that You would guide and lead through the Scriptures, and I pray You'd put me aside and just allow You to do a work with Your people. And Father, You know who's saved, who's lost, who's backslidden, who's not. You know all things. Father, I just pray You'd help me to stay the course with Your Scripture and to preach on who I love. And I thank You for allowing me to be here. It is a privilege and honor. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for giving me eternal life. Thank You for what You do. It's in Your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, now that's got that going. So, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but we are living in some very fast times. Like, in 2020, we had what? What did we have? Anybody know what we had in 2020? A pandemic? Have you noticed that, like, we are, like, engaging in very filthy things faster and faster and faster and faster? Where California wants to legalize all kind of weird stuff, pedophilia, all that kind of weird stuff. What did Biden make this day? Does anybody know? It's a hit on Christianity. We live in times that our America used to be very popular with Christianity. We used to have great preachers. We live in the end times where we're like looking at our nation. Our nation has fallen fast. God has lifted his hands off this nation, but He's always kept a remnant, right? He's always kept people. It's like a doomsday message. It's not. But I'm just setting the stage for what is really important. I know that our nation is going under, but God's still in charge of everything. God's still in charge with you. He's in charge with your health. He's in charge. He's the one who's always been in charge. I have this quote from C.S. Lewis. And I love this quote. Let me get there. It says, C.S. Lewis says this, "The New Testament the writers speak as if Christ's achievement is rising from the dead was the first event of its kind and the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met and fought and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because of what He has done." Amen. Our timetable is what? AD what? 2024, right? Well, AD is what? A Latin name, the year of our Lord. I can't say it, so I'm not going to butcher it for you. Yeah, that's me too. Right? So our history is built around the Lord Jesus Christ. There is more documents about the Lord Jesus Christ than there is about Caesar Augustus being 33 when he died. Prove that. Right? There's more documents about the Lord Jesus Christ than George Washington being our president. There's more documents. This world's coming to an end very abruptly. But that's good news for us. My scripture is, the title of my message is, The Results of the Cross. If you would, go to chapter 27 of Matthew. I like going through my Bible, so that's what I kind of do. Like, I love reading through my Bible. I've always been that way. Let me put this over here. Verse 37 says this. set up over his head an accusation written. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. An accusation. Why they're putting him to death. You know, Pontius Pilate knew that why they were putting him to death, right? He knew it was for envy. He knew that this something was different. Even his wife was saying, hey, don't mess with this dude. I've had dreams about him. He said, don't mess with him. And he said, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he save others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, labbaktani, whatever you say that. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with the vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to him and save him. Isn't it just like the world just to sit and watch someone suffer? Wait, whoa. Don't do something nice for him. We want to see if Elias will come. What a religious people, huh? This nation, so religious with Moses' law, are waiting for this man to die when he did nothing wrong. Let's watch him die. Let's let him suffer. And it said, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the rocks did quake, the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. You notice that? Like after his resurrection, right? After the third day he comes out, all of a sudden Mary comes to the tomb, and something's shaking, the earth is quaking. There is people coming out of the grave, walking around, eyewitnesses that seen this happen. A resurrection. Not just any word, but a body resurrection. My first point is, the result of the cross, it's in the veil. This veil was impenetrable. Does anybody know about the temple? The temple had two sections in it. The holy and the most holy. And between that, what divided it was the veil. This veil was about 3.5 inches thick. It was, light could not penetrate it, nothing. Try tearing that thing apart. They could not tear it apart. And the Bible says this, that the veil of the temple was rent from twain, two. He divided it from top to bottom. Exodus, I kind of just said it to you. Hebrews 10 says this, that what I'm looking at in type, as you look here, that veil represented something in heaven. That temple represented something in heaven. Everything Moses got was from heaven. And God said, I want you to prepare this whole thing. It's just a type. It's a type from heaven. There's a temple up there. There's the Ark of the Covenant. It's God's presence. It's all a type. And so this veil is a type. Hebrews 10 says this, verse 19. Let's go there first. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Our flesh is so impenetrable to any kind of light, any good, any love, he had to destroy it. He had to destroy that. Hebrews 9, go over here. Trying to be a little quicker than normal. Says this. Verse 1 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which now we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second went the high priest, alone, once every year, not without blood, which he had offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. So this entering, you had to have blood from a sacrifice to enter in. And the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was yet not made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. There is no way that any normal person can go in to the presence of God. It was a high priest. It was chosen of God, and he had to have blood. He could not go on his own merit. He had to have a blood to get in there, to have that fellowship, to have that light, that illumination from God. And he says, and which was the figure of the time then present in which we were offered both gifts, sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You know, the one thing that they did not take off the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what it was? They took off his garment. They went to Herod. Herod dressed him in royal garb. Then they took it off. Then they sent him back to Pilate. The soldiers did the same thing to him. But you know the one thing they didn't take off him? His crown. That crown did not come off him. You know what bothers you today? You know what bothers me? My brain. My mind. I don't know about you, but this world loves to get it. Right? This phone. I'm as guilty as everybody else. Our minds. The devil is after your mind. God had to take care of that mind problem as well. Not just the sin problem, but that is the sin problem, the mind. And which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Wow. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, that temple, neither by blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, obtaining eternal redemption for us. Who? For that thief that said, remember me on the cross. For that Pharisee said, hey, you saved others, you can't, why don't you come on down? Oh wait, don't give him that sponge yet. Let's see if Elias, he died for that. He died for us. He came to take that veil away, that thing that separated us from God himself. For in the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes and of heifers sprinkled the unclean things, sanctified to purify in the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Listen, you can be clean all the way on the outside, but in Matthew 15 he says, what's in the heart will come out the heart. The old timer said, whatever's in the well will come up in the bucket. It's the heart issue. It's your mind connected. We are wicked from our youth. We were born in sin. But something comes alive in our youth. Something wicked. And God had to finally put an end to that sin problem. Don't you thank God that He didn't ruin or destroy Adam? You would have never known the pleasures of heartache, of pleasure, of joy, of memories. We would have never known that. You would have never been born. You would have never heard this guy speak. Nothing. Listen, Ephesians 2 says this. This is what He came to do. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For He is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That veil. That thing that was separating us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity. What was that? The flesh. This spiritual wickedness in us that has a tendency to think, I'm going to be spiritual today. But all of a sudden your mind's on to what? Work. Things that may be halfway decent, good. But God has called us to what? We are worshipers. If we do not worship the divine, we will worship the mundane. We will worship something. We will worship ourselves. We will worship football. We'll worship. We are worshipers. And God knew that because God built us. And He said, and has abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments or contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man. So when He broke that veil, that typified what was going to take place. He was going to finally end this flesh business. He was going to make a way so you can enter into the holiest of all, into His presence. Amen. By His blood. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Those Jews were nigh. Gentiles were far off. Every one of them. You know, the whole world was watching this crucifixion. There were so many different languages there. He's written in what? Greek, Latin, and what? Hebrew. The worldwide known language besides, you know, some weird dialect of a nation that's a barbarian. Right? So this nation's watching Jesus Christ being crucified. And you know what's so funny? They were inflamed. They were inflamed by this passion of watching Him die. So who else was there? Who else was at this crucifixion? The devil. Oh, He was inflaming everything. The Bible says it was His hour of power. And Peter's like, oh, I never deny you. He denied Him. Because it was the devil's hour of power. You think you're strong. You think you're religious. Wait till the devil gets a hold of you. He has an hour of power. And He had it at the cross. The whole world was going crazy about Him dying. Pontius Pilate had the power to say, you know what, I'm not crucifying this guy. You can have Barabbas. But the devil was so intensified. And that's the thing, is that the devil uses the flesh. And so in this veil, God broke that thing apart. So you could have access to Him. So you didn't have to live in the flesh anymore. You could have God, the God of all glory, the God of creation, the one that's the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He made sure of it by the veil. And that veil, what did that veil do and typify? Brought us to God. Brought us to heaven. The ability to be with Jesus Christ in heaven. No man before that could go to heaven. They were in Abraham's bosom, in the heart of the earth. They were waiting for the purchased possession, that redemption that was coming from God Himself. They were waiting. And now we're waiting. Because one day, if you die today, you'll go to heaven. But your body will stay here. Go back to Matthew 27. The result of the cross, the veil. He tore that thing down, that flesh. That was the result of the cross. Was to tear down that flesh. To get rid of it, to destroy it. It's funny. Yeah, get more pages. It takes me forever to get through my Bible. Verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. He opened the grave. Like death, where is thy sting? Like he abolished the grave. You may go there, but you will not stay there.
Amen.
Isaiah 25, go there. Verse 8. He says, I will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. You have a rebuke on you. If you're a lost man, don't know God himself, you have a rebuke on you. Even the Israelites had a rebuke on themselves. They rejected them. They rejected God Almighty. They rejected His prophets. They rejected His word. And there's a rebuke. He said, I will swallow up death. That's what He's doing. He's setting the record straight now. What you couldn't and I couldn't do, He's going to do. Isaiah 26. This hit me when I studied this part. It says, the dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. That's Matthew 27. That's prophetic. God already knew what was going to take place. God already set this thing in motion. The Bible says we were hidden before the foundation of the world. God's eternal. We think time. We're like, well, how can God, like, well, we're not God. Thank God I'm not God. We'd have problems if I was God. I'll tell you that much. I'd be murdering everybody. Because if we're honest, how many times do we get mad at one another? How many times do you get mad if someone cuts you off? Or someone looks at you sideways, right? Well, thank God. I'm not thankful because I'm a horrible driver. I really am. And Lord, please help me. But he says that the dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing. There's some glory. You're going to awake and sing. Do you know when you're in the rapture, you're going to awake and sing?
Yeah.
You're going to look at him and you're going to be like a magnet, so attracted to Jesus. You're going to want to be near him. The Bible says that the body groans. Why? Because we're away from him. The whole creation groans. Why? Because sin entered in. We groan. Hosea 13, 14. Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. He is going to disannul the contract that the first Adam made. He is going to get rid of it. And you can't change his mind about it. You can't. He is on the cross. The result of the cross is that he is going to redeem your body. He is going to redeem everything about you. You are a triune people. You are a spirit, soul, and a body. The first thing he did when you came to, in faith, trusting the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, he saved you, your soul. Your spirit will be saved, but you can be up and down on Jesus Christ, can't you, oh God? But he's going to redeem a corrupt body, though, one day. But it ain't going to be the same body you have. We'll know each other. Obviously, we'll see each other. How he does that, I do not know. And I don't pretend to know that. But he says here in one more. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:20 says this. That's 14. But now in Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's our resurrection. He's our first. He's our example. He is the one that made the door open. He is the door. He is the porter. He is the one that opens the door for us to enter in with him. He says here, he goes, 54 says this. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass. What we already read, right? He says, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can I, you know, there's another mention of swallow, like in the Bible. That's pretty cool. When Pharaoh was giving all these little magical little tricks he was doing with the snakes. Did you know that Moses' rod turned into a snake and it swallowed them whole? You can't fake this. You can't fake the resurrection. You can't fake the death, burial, and resurrection. You can't fake it. It will swallow that trickery out there. You know, there's a new thing going around. So much knowledge out there now that's saying Jesus Christ was a fake, a phony. They have proof. They have all this stuff. The Bible is written by sinful men. Like, they're really pushing it hard. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't fake the resurrection. You can't fake God. You can't fake it. You can't. You know why I believe the resurrection? Because 11 of them went on believing, dying a horrible death and never changed their story. And men and women through history never changed their story. Because it's life and life eternal. There's something more substantive of the resurrection than anything on planet Earth could ever prove. Any kind of atomic bomb. What's bothering us right now, what we can't explore so much with that, is this, the flesh. This thing hinders us. It really does. But God one day will put it away. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Note to self, less pages. Hold on a second. This. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." When I read 1 Corinthians 15:54, it talked about mortality must put on immortality. When? When does that take place? Don't you groan? I know you're young. I know that you're like got some testosterone and you feel like you can go on forever, but you start getting my age, you start feeling a lot of aches and pains, you start thinking about after this. You know what I mean? You're just like, I don't know how long I want to. No, I sit here and whine, and I know there's people older than me that have way much worse pain than I do. But I'm just saying, the older you get, you start thinking a little bit more about life. Like, what are you going to leave as a legacy and where are you going, right? Well, there is a day coming that God's going to, what? Come for his people. And I hope, just like the guy that led me to the Lord and said, he hopes it's in his time. Because then you can say, where is thy sting, death? Where is it? Because that's what he's talking about. It's when you go in the rapture, there is no sting. When you die, there's a sting. But the rapture doesn't bring a sting. You're changed just like that. He says this, and this is when he does it. He says, and this is when we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So what's our authority in this? The word of the Lord, right? That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Who are asleep? What's that? You know, Lazarus was recorded that he was asleep by the Lord, meaning he was dead. His body was dead, sleeping in the ground. It's not soul sleep. It's just body sleep. Your soul is either, well, back then before Jesus Christ resurrected, it was in Abraham's bosom or hell. And so they're sleeping. They're in the ground. They're in the graves. So there are people that have trusted Jesus Christ that are in the graves right now. And when Christ comes back, at the time he sees fit to come back for his church, that ground is going to quake. Those graves will open up. And there will be such a, it'll trumpet, however that works out, you'll hear it. And you that are remain, that are alive, your body, your fiber of your body will shake. And boom, you're in whatever body he gave you. And you're in the presence of him. And you're so attracted, you want to be near him. You want to see the King of Glory. You want to see what you groaned about, like waiting for. All this time, our flesh says that's probably, if you're like me, that your flesh is probably telling you, that kind of may be boring. Eternity is probably boring. No. I don't know if you ever had the hand of God touch your heart and you got a little glimpse of heaven, you would say, no, it won't be boring. It'll be amazing. And what is it here? And Revelations 4, that talks about it. And for such a time, like, one more. Ephesians. Well, I say one more to this point. Verse 13, Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What is that? The death, burial, and resurrection. What Christ did for a sinner. What he did for you. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. Your soul was sealed from your flesh. It doesn't touch. In the sight of God, you're distant. How do we say it? I can't say it. Judicial. Yes. Your standing before God is complete. Sinless perfection. Amen. He sees you as sinless perfection. Now, he doesn't see your body that way. Because your body gets older, doesn't it? It's dying. I know mine is. I feel aches and pains all the time. I used to think I was really tough and then got hurt. And now the rest is, well, old news. But he says this, he says, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you have the Holy Spirit of promise. That flesh can't touch the Spirit. It resides in you. It lives with you. It speaks with you. It loves you. It does everything that God would do if he was present with you. But he says this, 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's your body. Unto the praise of his glory. It's his glory. The result of the cross is that he was able to allow you to come into the presence of him, and that he would allow your body to have a new body. A regeneration, the Bible calls it, in the Titus 3, 5. It's a regeneration. Brought something back that was originally intended for. Like, we were made for worship. Flesh got involved, the devil got involved, and now we're at a wrecked, ruined place. But God, in his time, came with Jesus Christ. He died, buried, and rose again. He vanquished death for us in the grave. Like, he destroyed it. We will go there, but we will not stay there. You will stay there if you don't know him. And you will spend a time of eternity in a place called hell. Forever. And that's why you had to die. A gruesome death. See, we overlook the death, burial, and resurrection. We overlook his death tremendously. What he endured was something else. You think about this. God of all glory said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the first time in eternity he ever, never had fellowship with God the Father. Ever. You try that. We got, what, 80 years? And our parents die or something. We don't have them around anymore. This is eternity. This is forever. He's never been away from the fellowship of God the Father. Back to Matthew 27, and we'll close it up. Matthew 27 says this, verse 53, and it came out of the graves after his resurrection. The result of the cross is that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He didn't stay there. He came, resurrected, and then he brought something with him. He led the captivity captive. He brought some people with him. This shows me here that God was satisfied. God was satisfied in Jesus Christ by the fact that he was resurrected. God consumed that life of the flesh. God got rid of it. In the Old Testament, when God would be satisfied with something, he would consume it. He would consume it with fire. Elijah mocks the prophets, doesn't he? Says, "Oh, where's your God?" Like, and they're like trying to like cut themselves, and they're wanting to like these demons to come and like put this fire, this place of altar on fire. And Elijah says, "Hey, let's just put water on it, on our sacrifice." Okay, then do it again. And then all of a sudden, God looks at that whole thing and he says this. He says, all of a sudden, the fire of heaven came and licked up everything. He consumes it. Gideon says this. Gideon goes and like looks at, he's threshing in the field. He's doing his thing. God comes to him. He says, "Hey, listen, God says, I want you to do this for the king, the nation of Israel, Gideon. I want you to go and defeat the Amalekites and the Ammonites." He goes, "I can't. I'm nothing. I'm nobody." He says, he deals with Gideon. He says, "Gideon, I want you to do this thing for me. You're going to do it." He says, "Well, first, Lord, let me come bring a sacrifice to you." And he says, "Okay, I'll wait for you." And he brings the sacrifice and he puts it on a rock. Isn't our rock the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that our rock? He puts it on there. He puts that sacrifice on there, and God with fire licks it up. And God says, "I'm satisfied. Now, Gideon, I want you to do this with your dad's groves. Get rid of it. Get rid of that altar they have there." He's able to do spiritual things because God is satisfied. Jesus Christ is crucified. It's the third day. These people are wondering where their Messiah is at. These two men are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're just talking amongst themselves about Jesus and what he said, and if that was truly him, he's the Messiah. Well, Jesus Christ comes along with them, and he talks to them. But Jesus Christ didn't say, "Hey guys, it's me. Hello. Jesus here." No, he walks them through Moses and the prophets and shows them who he is. And then they constrain him. "Hey, stay. He says, "Here's a piece of bread." They broke bread together. They fellowship for the first time that they could have fellowship with their Creator. And their eyes open. Just like that. And you know what happens? Their witness account says, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Satisfied. God was satisfied. And he showed us he was satisfied. I say this to you. Do you have a heart that burns within you for the Savior? Or do you have one that's just, "I'm saved, I know it"? Do you know Gideon, it took him time to prepare his sacrifice? Do you know that you can spend time today to prepare that sacrifice? You can tell the Lord, hey, I'm bringing a sacrifice. I'm sinful. The Bible says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? Because you need that heaven, that fire from heaven in your bosom. The result of the cross is the result of the cross is what? He tore the flesh down. The result of the cross is that he took the grave and he abolished it. Our hope is in heaven now. It's not in the grave. And what did he do? He made the way satisfied with God the Father. God the Father was pleased in Isaiah 53 to bruise and crush him. Because he knew that that was the ultimate sacrifice that he would only accept for you to have fellowship with him. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have not been fellowshipping with him, I would say, hey, why don't you just spend some time and prepare that sacrifice as an altar and put it on the altar of the Lord and say, this is what I've done. This is the best I've been. My heart hasn't truly been with you. And watch him consume it. And watch him put it in you. He wants to have fellowship with you. But the Isaiah 59 says, your sins have separated you from me. Get your heart right, like Gideon. And then watch God. When your heart's right, God will do something what? He will say, go get rid of that thing I don't want you doing anymore. And all of a sudden, he's winning victories left and right. The resurrection gives you a victorious life over everything. Mm-hmm. It's because of Jesus Christ and what he did. He set the timetable, AD. He set it all up. And he's coming back soon. If you can't see it, he's coming back soon. And the reason why people got in trouble in the Old Testament with the Israelites is what? They forgot the Passover. They forgot what God did for them. But you can go to your altar and prepare yourself to say, Lord, this is what I've been doing. And you know what he's going to come do? Come down and consume it. He's not going to tell you, well, you need to do this, do this, do that, do this. He's just going to consume that life. And he's going to give you a right direction. That's what the resurrection's for. That's the results of it. There's heaven now. And there's a walk with God now. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you straight forward, it's hell without him. You will spend eternity. No, you will. You know what else I know why Jesus Christ is real and the resurrection is real? You ever heard anybody cuss out Buddha? You ever had anybody cuss out Muhammad? Allah? You hear them say Jesus Christ in a profane way. Every time. Because there's power in that name. And if you do not know that name, today should be that day. The Lord has made that day. Make it. Make it your day. Make it your day. My day was in county jail in Flathead County. Make it your day to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Accept him for what he did for you. When he tore that veil down. When he vanquished the grave. When he made a way to satisfy God's Father's wrath and demand upon sin. He made the way. He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God. Listen, accept that today. Because he loves you. And most people say, you can't say, yes, he does, or he wouldn't have gone to the cross for you. He loves his creation. But he can't have fellowship with sin. When you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, he wipes it away. Amen. Take the time today to allow him to consume that life. If you've been sinning and been away from God for a while, let him consume it. Wait for him to do it. We're too busy about our lives thinking about what time it is. But God is asking you to give him a little bit of your time so he can do a work in your heart and consume that old life. Amen. And he give you a new life that you regret. You didn't even do it sooner. Do it. Because we have a short time now. It's amping up. Sin is amping up fast. We have things I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. Jesus Christ loves you today, and he wants to have fellowship with you, and he made a way through the cross. He also wants to have fellowship with you if you come to the cross, but have rejected him lately, as of late. So. Thank you.
If I could have Katie pull up Psalm 118, read it earlier, verse 15. Psalm 118, 15. I'm going to read that for us. As I'm reading, the band can come up. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. This is your tabernacle, folks. The veil has been torn. But we don't need to go to a temple in Jerusalem to get right with God. This is your temple. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The gospel message has been proclaimed here, has been explained. It's a simple message, folks, and it's the same message. It doesn't change. I want to read a verse out of 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This isn't a just kind of a spiritual, magical, I'll have like a glorified. No, you're going to have a real glorified body, a new tabernacle, a heavenly, eternal tabernacle. Your soul, upon justification that Jesus took for you on the cross in his death, prepared you to go to heaven. You don't need to do anything else. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven. We desire, we groan like, Lord, I want that. I want that eternal body. We're groaning for that every single day. Nature groans to be resurrected.
Yeah.
Everything that God created is stuck in sin right now. And as beautiful as this valley is, it's groaning for something better. If so be that that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We don't have to worry about dying and nothing ever happening. We know what's going to happen. Either heaven or hell, folks. Heaven or hell. Now he that hath wrought us from the selfsame thing is God. God has done this mighty work. God has accomplished this. He has finished it. It's available for all who listen. You listen to the message today. It's available to all. It's a basic message. You just have to accept him. He's paid the price. He's taken care of all the sins, past, present, and future. There's people born today, yesterday, and a couple days ago. Jesus has paid for their sins. You just need accept.
Yeah.
Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame is God, for who also hath given us unto the earnest of the Spirit. There it is again. The earnest of your salvation is the Holy Spirit, folks. That's the down payment.
Yeah.
You keep the Holy Spirit. It cannot be taken from you. Why? Because Jesus has made that possible. You have a decision, folks.
Yeah.
You have a decision. You can choose to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you can deny Him. Romans 10, 9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that easy, folks. It's very basic. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn, folks. He came to save you. We're already condemned. We condemned ourselves. Or you can choose to reject it. You say, you know what? Thanks for that. I got a ham in the oven. All that talk about Jesus and salvation. And it was a nice time to go hang out with folks. You came here. This is your appointed time to hear this message. You cannot go to God and say, "Well, nobody told me." Nope. March 31st, 2024, you were told, you were given the gospel message. And then now it's on you. Somebody told you about it. breaks my heart when I go to offer a Bible to somebody and say, no, thank you, I've got my own faith. Sad. It's so sad, it burdens me. So you can choose to reject Jesus Christ and keep your own way. John 3:18, the rest of that verse says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is no other name. There is no other resurrected person. Jesus has been resurrected. There is Buddha has not been resurrected. Muhammad certainly wasn't. Nobody else has been resurrected, folks. That's the first fruits of our salvation. That's the guarantee. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, the lake of fire was not originally made for us. Because Adam and Eve, they had perfect relationship with God. But when we sin, he's like, okay, I guess I'll just put them here if they don't believe in me. Folks, I don't want anybody to have to go experience that. You have eternal souls. We all have eternal souls. Whether you go to heaven or hell with that, your belief in Jesus Christ is determined on what your location is with your eternal soul. So I'd ask you today, as we sing our last song, think about what we talked about today. You can walk out of here and just deny it. But it's my prayer, it's my burden, it's my hope, it's my love that you would come talk to me, come talk to Clint, come talk to Mike, come talk to my wife Michelle, Sister Elaine, Katie. Come talk to them. I'll pull you aside. I'm not going to name you out. I'm not going to call you out. Don't let this go by. Let's go ahead and have our last song.
So I know it's been said a few times. Mike said it. Jeremy just said it. The message we heard this morning is so, so important to everybody here and everybody that may hear this in the future. There's so many hang-ups that we can have that would keep us from believing the message we just heard. Satan puts those in front of us all the time. And I'll just tell you one real quick that was put in front of me. And that is, maybe if I just be good for a while, I'm not worthy of it now, I'd be good for a while, then I can present myself to God as a better person. I'll tell you what, church, you're never going to achieve that on your own. You're never going to feel with our sinful nature that you're worthy of Christ's saving. So you just got to lay it down. You just got to lay it down. Lord, I pray as we sing this last song that your Holy Spirit do a work in people's hearts. Soften their hearts to know you and have that relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a reason why our hearts can be courageous.
Take today's message and put it in your heart. Meditate on it. If you're saved today, let this rekindle your heart. Let this rekindle, renew your motivation to serve. Just, we got a little time, folks. And if you're not saved today, I'm not going to repeat myself. Come up and talk to me. Let's get this done. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can be 100% certain that we are going to heaven. If you're listening to this prayer right now and you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm 85-ish, then you're not going to heaven. You got to know. And Jesus has provided the way to know, 100%. And so come to him. The veil has been torn. The stone has been removed. He is not in the grave. He is risen. Lord, I would ask you would just be with us today, be with us this week as we just meditate on this word, that would apply it to our lives. Lord, I just thank you for all my wonderful brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for all the visitors. So good to see new people coming to church and people that I haven't seen in a while. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just, again, I'm just honored and blessed to be in the company of the wonderful servants here at Lake City Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for all the wonderful folks that are doing wonderful things in this community, Lord. And Lord, you see them. Nobody else needs to see them, but you do, Lord. We're thankful for that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. God.